This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Pods. Not his best performance. No one really. Guy Santos, great. But overall, just a horrible loss last night that we were reacting to here on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Shasky. Heat 112, Warriors 86 as you're heading to New Orleans. And we'll see. I mentioned Zion Williamson, who had been playing well prior to his back contusion. He's missed the last couple of games. So we'll see if Zion's going to be available then. He'd be off, I think, a couple weeks if he was to play Friday. And Steph Curry, all likelihood, also dealing with a contusion of sorts, a pelvic contusion, all likelihood that he is going to play on Friday. Obviously wanted to have a week off as he suffered that injury last week. Hasn't played in the first two games of this road trip, and it has shown because the Warriors' offense has been offensive, if you will, Joe Shasky. And yesterday, it was a Heat culture win to me as Jimmy Butler was poo-pooing the entirety of the Heat culture with a lot of the comments he was making prior to the game, leading up to the game. That was a Heat culture win when I got guys like Alec Burks making plays. When we know Alec Burks well, but let's be honest, it's Alec Burks. He's not a starter on most teams, and he started yesterday 5-7 from the three-point line, 17 points for him. Khalil Ware, big seven-footer, 14 points. God, the guy was, you know, dropping the ball mid-drive, picks it back up, and just has an incredible layup there. It was just athleticism, size, the handle, the touch. It was great. Davion Mitchell off the bench, 32 minutes for him, 12 points. Their guys stepped up. The Warriors guys did not, and that was the difference in the game yesterday. When you did have Jimmy Butler, and there was this quote-unquote revenge game factor, and you know what? He shrunk up yesterday. Whether it was the tribute, whether it was the fans, you know, booing him when he got the ball ad nauseum yesterday, I don't know what it was, but he shrunk yesterday. Draymond Green shrunk yesterday, and the Miami Heat played like the team that wanted revenge more.
You know when they were at their best? When Dre and Butler were off the floor. All right? No, like, and then, look, that happens. And I think that sometimes we overthink things, and I get why you want to go back to the well. This game was so important. I would have rode out as many combinations that were clicking as I possibly could, given how clunky it was. So they're down basically 15, and they're trying really hard defensively in that third quarter. They're down 15. And then the Looney, Santos, Pods, Kuminga, Buddy Hield unit. Again, Looney, Santos, Pods, Kuminga, Buddy Hield unit. Ends up cutting the game in the final 3 minutes or so of the third quarter to an 8-point game. Kuminga hits a big shot on the wing. They cut it to 8. And the coach decides, and he's going to sub back in Quentin Post, take Pods off the floor, even though Pods wasn't great.
Yeah.
GP2 in for Santos, and then puts Draymond Green back in for Looney. And almost instantly, Davion Mitchell bangs a three to hit another bucket, and you're down 13. Then you start the fourth quarter, and you got GP2, Butler, Draymond Green, that combination. You look up, and 2 minutes up, you're down 17.
And that was the game.
100%. But my point is this. Ride the hot hands. Yesterday, look, I know. I'm not here to say that Guy Santos needs to play 25 minutes every game. But when a guy's got it going for whatever reason, and he's being honored as a shooter, and he's knocking down shots, ride the hot hand. Just ride the hot hand a little. All right? And look, the blame isn't on just the coach. Dre and Butler, as premium players making premium money, who are putting out premium content online about them laughing and yucking it up with Cuban music in the background, playing dominoes.
It's a bad look.
You better show up.
It's a bad look.
You better show up. And look, anybody watching that game was like, yeah, it's not Moody's night. It's not GP2's night. Like, that happens. It's okay. But Jimmy and Dre, I get going back to them, they didn't have it. And I thought that Jimmy in particular, it was shocking to me to see this team play better with him off the floor.
Brought to you by Golden State, serve the barrier for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Anthony Slater joining us later in the program. Covers the team for The Athletic. He was there in Miami. I want to kind of get the lay of the land down there and the atmosphere and what it was, because, you know, it came across as contentious a lot of time from the fan base, and that, and rightfully so. We were talking about it yesterday, Joe Shasky. We knew the Miami Heat fandom. You know, was there going to be some cheers? And yeah, there were some cheers at the video, but there's a lot of boos.
Every time he touched it.
There was so many more boo birds out when he was touching it, and you felt it more when that Miami started getting those big leads and they started feeling it, and they smelled blood in the water, if you will. That fan base, they were letting Jimmy hear it, and they were not happy with how things went down last year. And yes, you can sabotage your legacy in a span of a 6 month period. And he did that the last 6 months out in Miami, whether it was with Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, it was everyone. And they let him know about it. Tyler Hero had a great performance. We were talking about him yesterday, him having no hard feelings.
Like, he didn't want to be in the building.
Yep, the plus 33, Tyler Hero, he was incredible. He was an all-star this year. He was great. Bam Adebayo, like, again, that entire team.
Wait, buddy, Tyler Hero was what?
He had plus 33.
Well, I mean, look,
20 points for him, 7 assists, 4-4. And again, I said, I don't know if he can have a dagger in the first half, but it sure felt like that 3-point shot, to the buzzer beater to end it. That felt like a dagger.
And it felt very personal, is probably strong, but it felt really important from Bam and Tyler Hero. You could hear they were jarring as they were going back to timeouts. And at the end of the half, like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Like, this game meant a lot to them.
Yes.
And
they took it personally. How could you not take it personally with everything that, like, when he was coming back, when he was talking on the court? And again, Jimmy Butler's here. We're not, this is Jimmy Butler as a Warrior, but there's a lot baked into yesterday's game. And Jimmy was a part of all of that narrative. And he was speaking to the media about it leading up to the game. And for him to have that performance, it was disappointing, to say the least, and I know the fans are disappointed.
Young guys not showing up in Miami. Veterans have to show up in Miami. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. And like, again, you said Tyler here is a plus 33. Well, I'm listening to Steve. And again, I love Steve, but I'm sorry, dude. You started GP2 to guard Tyler Hero. That's what he said. I wanted to have him on Tyler Hero. It got cooked, and you kept going back to it, and it wasn't working. I love GP2, but he's the kind of player, he's a niche player, right? Like, what's the guy, Tony? I was talking about the Chiefs earlier. Like, so there's Patrick Mahomes. If Curry is Patrick Mahomes,
right?
Kadavion Tony, or whatever that guy's name is.
Kadarius Tony.
Only works with Patrick Mahomes.
And even then it didn't. He kept dropping the ball.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it only works with Mahomes. That's the way I view GP2. I love GP2, but he only really works alongside Steph Curry. You can only get away with it for so long. When Steph's not out there, they're like, I dare you to shoot.
Well,
and he gets none of the easy buckets in the rim.
That's back-to-back games, Joe Shasky, that are concerning to me. Those shifty and Trae Young, similar to Tyler Hero, a little smaller, obviously, but those shifty guards that are quick, the lateral quickness, they could do the dribble drive penetration, they can knock down a 3-point shot. They have killed the Warriors in the past, and they've killed them in these first two games of this road trip. Again, that goes back to the defense. The Moses Moody's of the world, the Brandon Pajemski's of the world. Hell, Jimmy Butler didn't have a good defensive game. Draymond Green didn't have a good defensive game. The defense did show up, and if the defense is not going to show up, I know the offense is already going to be a struggle, but if you're not going to defend at a high level, then it's going to be a very long night.
But Jimmy didn't take on any, like, this is the other part. Like, I love Jimmy, right? We all like Jimmy. This is great. Doc, take on an assignment. You took on where to start this game? Yeah. We're guarding Jimmy Butler's going to guard a 7-footer who's going to jump through the roof. What are we doing? Come on, dog. Take all Wiggins. Get Moody on somebody else. Like, take all Wiggins. What are we doing here?
Let's go to some of the calls, Joe Shasky. Let's go to some of these calls. 888-957-9570. By the way, Anthony Slater is going to be 8:30 Slates. Can't wait to talk about him. He was at the game in Miami, and there's a lot of onions to peel back, a lot of layers to these onions to peel. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. James is in Vegas, has been hanging on tight. What's up, James? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to say that, like, I don't have nothing against Potts, but his ceiling should be, like, the eighth guy in a rotation. And then I think it was you guys who asked him when he came back from the injury, why is your shot hitting? And he said because of rest. He don't even want to play this much. And now we got to overplay Gary Payton on Hero because Potts already got fried by Trey. The only reason why Trey didn't have 50 that game is because he wanted his guys to eat.
Because everyone else was trying to get 50. It's a good point, James.
Yesterday's a great example. And look, I like Potts, but yesterday he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Look, you have the guy on the roster.
Thanks, James.
Give Pat Spencer a couple minutes. No one's saying you got to play him 40
minutes.
They gave
him six.
But Joe, you're looking for a spark. Like, these games are precious. The minutes and
well, we know that. Do the Warriors know that these games are precious? Because they went into them like they went into these games like they are the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're not.
But that's my point.
You're not.
And that's where, like, to me, like, you look, every time Pat Spencer's played, even if it's a couple minutes, he gives me a little spark. And maybe it's a minute. Maybe it's 2 minutes. Like, no one's saying it's a 20-minute run. I'm not saying, like, hey, that game was won and lost on Pat. But Pods doesn't have it. Let's put Pat Spencer out there. He's a little more athletic. You know, he wants to get in the lane. Like, let's just see if it works. You owe it to your team. Just tinker a little.
Steve Kerr, after the game, clearly not their best stuff.
You know, it wasn't our best stuff, clearly. You know, we couldn't make a shot. 9 for 38. They go 17 for 25. I just give them credit. You know, we played very poorly, but, you know, it's not like, you know, we were throwing the ball around the gym. We had some shot clock violations because they played great defense. We didn't connect the game very well, and they just lit it up. Spo had them ready to play, as we would expect, you know, given the circumstances, you know, with Jimmy coming back. And they were ready, and they knocked everything down early, and we missed everything, and we were playing upstream the whole game.
I guess my question is, why weren't they ready for this game? No, like what's legitimately, like, I would have followed up with Steve Kerr. Why weren't they ready for this game? What are the excuses? You knew you're not going to have Stephen Curry. So, and not only are you the sixth seed currently, you're clinging to the sixth seed, trying to stay out of the plan. All the urgency needs to be there in a game like this after you just got humbled against an Atlanta Hawks team that you might feel is beneath you. No team is beneath you right now. I get it. It's been very fun in the Jimmy Butler era. There's been a lot of winning, but you have dug yourself a hole prior to Jimmy coming here that you can't have room for error at this point. There are 10 games left in the regular season, Joe Shasky. 10 games. And right now, you are a half-game lead over the Los Angeles Clippers. And again, I said it earlier, if the Clippers win tonight in New York City, they're the sixth spot in the West. And where are you? The seventh seed. And do you want to be taking on Anthony Edwards, the Minnesota Timberwolves, in a one-game situation? I don't care if it's at Chase Center. No, I do not. I do not want to see Draymond Green going at Rudy Gobert again. All right? I don't need that in my life. Okay? I don't want any of that. I want a playoff situation. That was the goal heading into this season, is just to have a playoff setting at Chase Center. And right now they're flirting with not even having that. And you can't be doing that, man.
Draymond Green, in the first 5 minutes, when he got hit in the head, I know he got hit hard. He laid on the ground. I was like, come on, Dre, just get up. Like, just get up. We don't need a shenanigans game. He tackled Bam Adebayo near the three-point line. It was incredible. He just tackled him, and then no foul call. He got bodied yesterday by Bam. You know, everything he tried to do against Bam, it was a bad matchup.
Again, well, let's call it what it is. He's gotten humbled in these last few games against some of the bigs out there. The Aaron Gordons of the world. Again, no Jokic, no Murray. Aaron Gordon destroys you.
What have I said for 3 weeks?
Karl Anthony Towns, a guy, again, more bad blood in that game. Karl Anthony Towns showed up.
Everybody's looking into the offseason like, get this superstar, get that superstar. What have I told you for 3-4 weeks now is the number one need for this team in the offseason? Number one need. It's not even shooting.
Size.
They need a literal 20-minute a night guy who's bouncy over legitimately 7 feet. If I put Ware on this team right now,
oh,
he would solve a lot of issues. Problem is, I don't even know if the coach would play.
Well, that's exactly.
I don't even know if the coach would play.
I was just going to tell you.
Because he's stubborn on who he likes.
As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And we are broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And as you know, Joe Shasky, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Check out Freedman's Appliance this weekend, by the way, for their red tag clearance sale with Mark Grandy and Sam Lubman broadcasting there. And Matt Steinmetz is also going to be making an appearance. Are the Golden State Warriors going to be making an appearance on this road trip at any point? Because I'm still waiting for them to show up. I think they're still on the tarmac wherever they flew. Sure. Are they, like, I don't know. Like, the Miami flu, I get we joke about it, but like when Bonte was telling us last week on Friday when he was in, because he's in every Friday at 9 o'clock, when he was saying they're going to be in Miami for 5 days, I was nervous. I was like, oh boy, that's not good. Again, you should be professional in all this, but there's in the back of my mind, these guys like to slack off on these big road trips. And if you're going to be in Miami, a place where it is known, you can have a good time. And we saw the video yesterday circulating where it was Jimmy, where it was Draymond, they're playing dominoes and they're having coffee. Not saying they can't, they're adults. They can go out, they can have a good time. But when you have performances like you do yesterday, I start questioning stuff like that.
Well,
like,
it's not really cute.
It's not. It doesn't come off
cute. It's cute when you win.
Yes.
It's like, oh God, what are we doing?
Right?
To the fans, whether it's real or not, like, again, I get you have a life, but to the fans, they're like, was this just a vacation? Or are we out here to, like, because you're not going to make the playoffs if you guys continue on the road you're on. You're going to be in the one game playing. And we've seen how that's gone. You know, like, I'm not saying this is factually how it goes down, but there's nothing worse in sports than when the fans feel like they care more than you. Mm. I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but I'm saying it's a bad look when the fans feel like they have more invested stock into these games than you, the player. I don't think it's accurate all the time, but like, that's how people turn on you.
I was very disappointed. My main takeaway from yesterday's game, and 888-957-9570, 0-2 at the start of this road trip, has your expectations for this team potentially making a deep run or making a playoff run shifted at all in light of some of these losses? Again,
it's teetering.
Like these are some bad losses. Three of the last five games, you've lost to a Nuggets team without their two best players. You almost lost to a Toronto Raptors team who stinks. They're one of the worst teams in the East. We're not even talking about that because you won the game, but you almost lost to them. You lose to an Atlanta Hawks team that is not exactly world beaters. They don't play a lick of defense, and you still couldn't score against them. And then this Miami Heat squad, who had just lost 10 in a row. These are a lot of bad losses, and I get it. There hasn't been a lot of losses when Jimmy Butler suits up as a Golden State Warrior. What are they, 16-4 now when he plays? But it was very concerning to me. I get it. There's no Stephen Curry, but that's not an excuse for me at this point. When you make the trade for Jimmy Butler, I thought that solved a lot of the problems, and maybe I'm just wrong because he has not shot the ball well really at all since being a Golden State Warrior. The efficiency hasn't been there. I know he's not a three-point shooter, but I needed him to take more shots than 12 yesterday. When all the hype was around you, Jimmy, I thought you came up smallest yesterday in that game.
I agree.
And by the way, the Miami Heat fans, let them know about it. Here's Steve Kerr after the game talking about the fan environment in Miami.
I didn't know what was going on pregame because there was a video with no sound. So I was wondering what was happening. You know, Miami is it's a great place to live. So people don't ever seem too amped up around here. They're living the good life. So it really wasn't that rabid of an environment. It was typical Miami. I think the main part of Jimmy's return is that the Heat were ready and Spo had him ready. And I mean, you shoot 17 for 25 from three, you're going to win. But I thought it was how hard they played, how well they competed. They took it to us tonight.
And Steve's saying that was typical Miami fans, but you know what? The fact that Jimmy Butler barely got any reception and it was like half cheers, maybe, but mostly boos at that video reception tells you all you need to know about the bridges that he has burned in these last 6 months out in Miami. The guy that dragged two teams to two NBA finals, the best player on those teams. Like, we're going to look back at those probably as his career achievements, being able to do that, winning two Eastern Conference finals. And for him to kind of poo-poo that in recent comments in the last week. I think that rubbed a lot of Heat fans the wrong way. And this was Bobby Marks, former assistant GM with the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Shasky. Bobby Marks on yesterday in ESPN talking about those same Heat fans that Steve Kerr was alluding to. I thought this was very interesting.
I was embarrassed last night. I was embarrassed watching that and looking at what the Heat fans did to give a man who quit on you. He quit on them at the end of the year, at the middle of the year. He quit on them because he didn't get paid by the Miami Heat. And I know he took you to two NBA finals and everything he did great for you, but to give that man a standing ovation, even if it was 50% of that, that bothered me dearly.
Really?
As far as that. It really did. I would have done the video tribute. I still would have done it of the Heat organization, but And Steve Kerr said it after. Basically, it was like almost like fair-weathered fans who were like, oh, it's okay, you know?
But I think that got to Jimmy Butler yesterday. I really do. I think we all thought, like, playoff Jimmy, the mindset, you know, he's an alpha mentality. And that's okay if it did, because he's human. Like stuff like that. We were talking yesterday, Joe Shasky, like, well, do you want the booze? Like, do you want to be a Dylan Brooks guy? Do you feed off the booze more than the cheers of your home arena? Like, sometimes you thrive on that, sometimes you don't. There was clearly, I think, a lot of emotion baked into that game yesterday. And I saw it from just the comments that Taylor Rooks was saying on TNT when Jimmy was saying, quote, I have nothing to say to Pat Riley, and Pat better have nothing to say to me. So he clearly had a lot of hard feelings still, even though he didn't want to make that known, maybe to the public prior, but there was a lot of hard feelings there.
We've had Bobby
Marks. Is that an excuse for the performance, though, yesterday for you?
No. This whole thing, like, you know, we weren't ready to start the game. How many times do I have to hear that this year with Kerr and the Warriors? Like, the players, the coach, whatever it is, I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm tired of hearing it. On the Bobby Marks thing, I like Bobby Marks. We've had him on the show a lot.
He's very good. Knowledgeable. ESPN capologist.
But when I hear that, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like a guy who hasn't paid for a real ticket in a long time. And that's just my personal belief. I believe you should not tell fans how to fan.
Okay.
That's my belief. Nothing's worse than the third down guy sitting next to you. Come on, get up. It's third down. You, right there.
Oh,
get
God.
Up. It's third down. You got to cheer right now. Like, hey, everybody buys a ticket. You can boo if you want. You can cheer if you want. You could stand. Now, if you got like 2 80-year-olds behind you, you probably shouldn't stand.
No, you got to know your place a little bit.
Be respectful of those around you. But I'm just a big believer in, I'm not going to tell people how to be a fan.
No.
So if someone feels that they want to stand, give a standing ovation to a particular player, so be it. Like, dude, I watched us give the most insane opening day fandom to Brandon Belt coming out on a yacht. It was the most obscene. It was obscene, quite frankly. I was embarrassed for certain Giants fans. And you know what? Those fans paid their ticket. They like Brandon Belt. They can do what they want. I rooted for T.O. I know a lot of people didn't root for T.O. after he basically torched the building down. I don't expect you to feel the same way about all these players as I do. So that's okay.
That's okay. But again, if I'm a Warriors fan this morning, because that's the Heat fan angle and all that, and they ended up getting, you know, the last laugh yesterday just in the regular season. I still don't think they're going to be doing much. I don't think there's ever going to be a scenario where they win that trade with Jimmy Butler. But you know what? They felt good yesterday, for one night they did. Absolutely. Andrew Wiggins, he was all smiles after that game.
And if the Warriors end up in the play-in, that game means so much more.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, you can lose the game. Like, I'm okay. You can't lose back-to-back games on the road with the season where it's at, with your record where it's at, with the teams around you in the standings where they're at, with Curry out. You can't play those back-to-back games that way. And the other thing, I'm watching the Warrior fan base sit here and argue about Jonathan Kuminga. You guys are driving me nuts. I'm going to tell you this right now. The comment section, the internet, anyone who's obsessing, you're arguing about a paper cut when we've got shot through the heart with
a
shotgun. Why are we arguing about the paper cut? That's not going to kill us. The two best players on the team yesterday barely showed up. Draymond and Jimmy.
And that's what needs to be discussed.
Kuminga's the afterthought.
888-957-9570. In the absence of Stephen Curry, Jimmy Butler, I'm starting to question a little bit. I know he's an alpha. I know what he's meant to this team. But I'm concerned, again, come play-in or playoff time, if Steph doesn't have it, because by the way, he's going to get blitzed by a lot of these Western Conference teams. They're going to force a Jimmy Butler. They're going to force a Draymond Green. They're going to force someone else to step up. And I know Steph is going to get his, but someone else needs to also get theirs. And I'm very concerned about this team and that lack of a true secondary. We're still talking about this. And this is the Stephen Curry world. They don't have a consistent secondary score that I can rely on. The Lakers, they got LeBron, they got Luka, and they got Austin Reeves. They got someone that's going to step up. They have Oklahoma City. They've got, you know, the Jalen Williams. I know Chet's going to do something. Obviously, they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Nuggets, we've seen it with Aaron Gordon. He stepped up in the absence of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. I know what I'm getting from them. What am I going to be getting from Jimmy Butler going forward? I think it's a valid question at this point. 888-957-9570. James in New York, we'll get to you. Antoine, I see you hanging on tight in Nashville. You're a great caller. We'll get to you on the other side as well. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.